Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 131 for July 7, 2020. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So you should be, or you are seeing Jake Bernstein's screen right now. He's the guest for today. And Jim Kenny, Jim the Option Professor, is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay. Thank you very much, and welcome, everybody. We got a big show here today with Jake Bernstein, and just a little background he'll be giving in a minute, but I just like to step up and say Jake has been in the investment business for a very long time, long before the Nigerians and all these other people that you see on TV. You know, Jake has been educating people on the different markets for a very long time, and I'll let him introduce himself now, but it's a very special guest. I'm very excited. Jake Bernstein, could you just a little background on yourself and your company?
Jim, thank you. I'm flattered and honored to be here. So I made my first trade in the summer of 1967. I've been trading since then. I trade practically every day, not necessarily day trades every day, but short-term trade. I've written 45 books, been on Wall Street Week, CNBC, FNN, CNN, given investment trading and seminars all over the world, and taught traders everywhere how to trade. I'm a real trader. I really trade, and I trade what I teach, and I teach what I trade. So my work, by the way, is purely technical, no fundamentals whatsoever, except as it suits my purpose. So in other words, if I have a long position and we get a big bullish report, I will use that report to take profits on my long position and vice versa. And I'm ready to go anytime you are, Jim.
Okay, sounds great. And of course, at the end, you'll be explaining how people can get a hold of you, because I know you have seminar, webinars, and all kinds of different things that people can get in touch with. The market today, you know, might as well start out with that. You know, we went all the way up to 3184 on the S&P, and they went home with the tail between their legs. Do you have any basic view on S&P right now?
It's still a big bull market. Can't get away from that. The leadership, Tesla and Apple, remain very strong, even though Apple reversed a little bit today. The bottom line is you can't fight the trend. The trend's been with us for a long time. And even through the big correction we had a couple of months ago, the big picture trend has remained strong. The Fed has pumped a whole lot of money into the market, which is a fundamental that I rarely talk about, but that's going to keep prices up. So these declines are buying opportunities at short-term or intermediate-term support. One thing I want to show, let me get the right chart. Hang on one second here, please. Get this chart and show it to you. Hang on one second. I just have to find the darn thing. Market sentiment, which is a very important indicator I use in my work.
Absolutely.
We have a survey called the Daily Sentiment Index. I'm going to show it to you now, which shows us the small trader bullish sentiments. I'm going to show it now on the S&P as of yesterday. Today's numbers will be out in a little while, but as of yesterday, the small trader was about 87% bullish, which is a very high number. The last time they were this bullish was right over here. I'm going to put a little green line there. And that preceded this decline. Mm-hmm. So we could still get that kind of a decline and be in a big bull market. But this number, and again, let me show it to you again. So this is where we are right now as of yesterday. And again, that tends to precede. It's a leading indicator, one of the few leading indicators available today. Mm-hmm. That gives us a very strong forecast of what could happen over the next several days. So still a bull market correction.
The green and the red line, are they moving averages, or and what number do they come in at about?
This red line over here?
No, up top near the numbers.
Oh, yeah. This is a 10 high, 8 low. So we're tracking two moving averages, a 10-day simple moving average of the highs, and an 8-day simple moving average of the lows. And that's the what I call the moving average channel. You can see that support is very strong at the bottom of the channel. Mm-hmm. So every time it comes down, it bounces right back up. Even though it stays below the bottom of the channel for 2 days, it bounces right back again. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again this time. And this channel for tomorrow comes in at 3065 on the S&P September. Mm-hmm. And on the Qs, let me bring that chart up just a moment here, please. And here's the Qs. Bring it up on the chart. One moment, please. And that's the Qs. And that number comes in tomorrow at 10,121 over here. And by the way, even though this says moving average 3, this blue line is a moving average of the raw sentiment, because traders are so extreme in their opinions, we have to slow them down a little bit with the moving average.
Mm-hmm. That smooths out the volatility a bit. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And you can see what happens. Here's the other situation. Let me just expand it a little bit. At the bottom of the COVID decline right over here, you can see what happened. The small trader went very negative to less than 12%. 20% bullish, and that correlated as a leading indicator to the bottom. And since the bottom was made all the way back here, this is only the second time they've been very bullish, and that last time was right over here. So that's how it works.
All right. Well, the sentiment is, in my view, my opinion, strike one against the current prices right now. How about seasonality? Is that going to be another strike, or is that a...
Perfect question. Yeah. Seasonality, going back to 1890, has been bullish for the first 2 weeks of July.
Okay.
And then after the first week of the second week of July, in fact, after the first week, probability on the upside begins to decline. We get a correction down until the first week of August, and we head back up again.
And that would coincide with them going to Congress, trying to get them to spend a whole bunch of money, in that it's hard for them to spend a whole bunch of money if the stock market's making new highs.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
The third pitch to this batter is going to be RSI. Do you ever look at that at all? Because something that I saw was a divergence between these new highs and the RSI. So that's why I took off quite a bit of tech and mega growth here today, because I was getting the idea that the new highs were not really being confirmed by an RSI. Do you ever use the RSI in connection with the price? Or?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. There's an upward limit. RSI can only go to 100.
Right.
So I prefer an indicator that can go past 100, because what happens is RSI will go to 90 and it'll stay there, and prices continue to go higher and higher and higher.
Right.
What's important to me is this green line right over here. This is momentum right over here.
Okay.
You can see what's happening. As price continues to go higher, momentum is going lower or sideways, which is a very negative leading indicator. So that says to me, hey, it's going to top out, just a question of time. But I do have some problems with the RSI and stochastic because they have limited upside and limited downside on the scale.
But your indicator would be indicating that these new highs are being made without real confirmation of strength?
You hit the nail right on the head, Jim.
Yeah, that's what I saw. And you know, nowadays you can trade millions of dollars with no commissions. So it's not illegal to come right back in tomorrow if you were wrong, you know?
I blew about one third of my positions yesterday right on the open.
Yeah.
Missed some of the move, but again, with no commissions, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? You know, I'm not from that school of if I sold at one price and it's higher, you can't come in because it's not lower than where you sold, you know?
Exactly, exactly. We don't care where they've been. We care where they're going.
Yeah, it's kind of like a risk on, risk off type deal.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, and so stock market's still very strong overall, but could have some volatility in the month of July, would be a little bit of a synopsis.
Yeah, and let me show a very revealing chart. Mm-hmm. This is the quarterly chart, so we're looking at the very, very big picture of the NASDAQ going all the way back to the start of this bull market in 2009, 2010. So what's been happening is very clear. We continue with very bullish formations. We continue to find support at the bottom of the channel. We have new high in price, new high in momentum. So on the very big picture, no problem. It's on the short term. So we go, for example, we come down one step to the monthly chart. Monthly chart is a thing of considerable beauty, also making new highs in momentum with price. It's only when you get to the weekly chart that you start to have problems. So here's the weekly, and you can see what's happened. New high in price, all-time high, momentum keeps heading lower. Definitely a negative on the intermediate term. And even on the market sentiment, we've gotten to an extreme level, but not high enough yet to trigger an intermediate term top. You can see how these tops in sentiment lead declines in price. The last one was right over here before the COVID crisis. And that was a leading indicator by about, 4 or 5 weeks.
Now, you know, as I look at my 20-year graph, and I use moving averages like a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year to get the kind of idea where the highway is, I've noticed that the Russell value and the transport are really, really not back above the averages at all. And I go back 20 years to where we had .com, and we've never had a sustainable rally like 01 to 08 or 09 to 19 without those people participating in some way, shape, or form. Do you think it's possible that because of the way the world changed with tech, that we could see these markets continue to make, say 3,500 on the S&P, but value, transports, and Russell not participate?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. Absolutely. Remember, the one outlier that we haven't considered that's never happened before is the Federal Reserve policy to keep interest rates at zero forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, money needs a home. Money managers can't make any money by doing anything other than investing in the stock market. And if they don't make money for their clients, they're not going to get their money. Mm. They're not going to get their fees. So they have to keep putting money into the market. It's a vicious cycle. It's going to be problematic one day down the road, but not right now.
Yeah. And the no alternative, money market is not an alternative. So it does force people into the investment arena.
Exactly.
Which
or into precious metals.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to all that. that, Jake. But we started out with the S&P and the NASDAQ, and I think you give them a good flavor on that. Now, the other big thing started yesterday was China. So if we look at KWEB or we look at FXI, could you give some analysis on China? Because, you know, the biggest search in China internet was how to open a stock account, which I said to myself, that's either extremely bullish or it's capitulation.
One of the things, without trying to offend anybody, I don't want to get into trouble with anybody. You know, these days, you have to really be careful what you say, because someone's going to get pissed off at you no matter what you say.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that the Chinese individual investors are among the worst in the world.
Right.
They're usually a leading indicator. They don't know anything about selling short. They just want to buy. They will buy all the way down. They'll hold on to their positions until they grow hair on them. So if anything, I would say it's a contrary opinion indicator as opposed to a leading indicator of bullishness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a country that certainly the people are willing to take a risk, and that's why Macau trumps Las Vegas for revenue by a whole bunch.
Right.
You know.
And here's the FXI showing that it's gone nothing but sideways since 2009.
Yeah. Did the KWEB I didn't see the KWEB. Was that looking a little bit more like it's going someplace? Or?
Here's the chart.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big jump, and you know, that's the, you know, it's a very strong looking thing, right?
Very strong looking, and all the way back to the highs. We'll see what it can do now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty quick run to the high, and now we see what happens.
It's all about the follow through, right?
How about in the Europe area, you use something like FEZ, because some people are saying the valuation is over there very low, and they're saying the ECB doubled their stimulus, and Germany actually got off their wallet and did stimulus.
So here's the chart. And again, basically the same situation, going nowhere fast.
Yeah, too early.
Too early, much too early, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the big things in the news really lately is, you know, people starting to, of course, they go international every year and it never goes up since 2018 or 2016 or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
What about in the interest rate, the TLT? Kind of range bound, you think, or what do you think? Because, you know, had a big run up to 180, then it came a big drop down to 150, and now where is it? I don't know. TLT.
There's the chart. Daily, range-bound, small bullish trend. Weekly, trading within support and resistance. Monthly, big bull market, no surprise there.
Right.
And the ultra-long-term picture, quarterly, also big bull market there. So again, if you're a long-term investor, you know what to do. You want to be buying at the bottom of the channel support. If you're a short-term trader, that's all it is. Daily trading market. Buy support, sell resistance. We're at resistance right now, so you should get a setback.
All right, let's look at the other one that's in the news here today, big. And that is the gold market. And so we'll switch a little bit over into, well, before we switch into the commodity sector, did you have some other stocks that you're watching? Because I know you have a radar list there or whatever that you kind of track these things. Do you have any specific stocks you'd like to throw out there?
I have been trading cheap BS stocks exclusively, by which I mean stocks trading in the range from $16 to $3 a share, trading large positions for small moves. Example, here's one that I did today. Let me bring it up on the screen. And here it is. Workhorse Group. So let me show you what I'm talking about. So these are the kind of stocks I'm like to trade now, other than the ones that I'm invested in. I'm not touching my investment portfolio. So here's the so-called Workhorse Group. I have no idea what they do. All I know is this. They exploded. I buy them when they come back into the channel, which is what I did today, and blew it out and I close the trading. So that's my day trade for today. Doesn't look like much of a move, but dollar-wise in a big position, it's huge. So these are the kinds of stocks that I'm enjoying lately, other than my investment stocks, which are doing extremely well, and I won't touch those. My investment stocks, example, this one right over here. Let me bring it up on the screen. CRISPR. I think we talked about that once or twice in the past.
Oh, sure. It's biotech, isn't it?
Right. It's a biotech with fabulous technology. So these are the kinds of stocks I'm enjoying investing in other than Tesla and Apple, but I don't touch those. I'd want to own them. I don't want to trade them.
Yeah. They're businesses that you just want to keep on your book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, this whole thing with no commissions has really changed things a lot for me.
Oh, God.
And so I can trade big positions, pay nothing for those positions, make money on 2 or 3 cents. And that really adds up for me by the end of the day. It's a lot of work, but it's pretty much sure money.
Do you have some type of software that screens and if it hits certain parameters, these stocks pop up?
Yeah, we have a filter. At the end of the day, I run the filter. My list comes up. I pick the ones that have sufficient trading volume or market cap. Those are the only ones that I trade. Usually I'll have between 5 and 10 a day, which is pretty much all I can keep track of at my age.
And you're sharing them with followers?
No.
Okay.
I teach them the methodology. I teach them how to do it on their own, but I won't share my trades with them other than as an example.
I got you.
I don't want them getting in my way.
Well, that, and you don't know everyone's circumstances, and when you don't know people's circumstances, circumstances, you can't really tell them anything.
True.
Okay, now we can switch over to the other one that had the big day today, which is the gold market. Hit a 52-week high.
And, let me interrupt, Jim. Let me show you something.
Oh, sure.
Here's one that I've been looking at. The symbol is HEPA, HEPA, okay? It's a pharmaceutical. I get my buy trigger right over here by the methodology that I use, which is two bars above the channel, accompanied by accumulation distribution. I buy the bottom of the channel, I sell the top, buy the bottom, sell the top. I keep part of my position for the bigger move, and that bigger move happened today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry, you wanted to talk about gold. Let's look at gold.
Sure.
GLD. Trend in gold, clearly bullish. Beautiful swing trading market. We got our buy trigger right over here. And every opportunity we had subsequent to that to buy at the bottom of the channel has been a profitable opportunity.
Now, with regards to gold, I just had a couple of questions because some of the gold, like the actual bullion gold that trades, and also GDX, which is obviously a big miner. Could you put GDX up there? Because that's pretty familiar with everyone.
We'll do that in just a second. I just want to show you one chart.
Sure.
Here's gold futures with market sentiment. I'm going to mark some points on this chart. In other words, right over here, market sentiment, very bullish. Small trader sentiment, decline. Right over here, similar situation, decline. Right over here, similar situation, small decline. As of yesterday, market sentiment back up close to 90% bullish. So what can we expect over the short term? Lower prices, be careful. And when you get a cluster of sentiment that's way too high, like right over here, let me mark it again, and market sentiment being too high, like right over here. Hold on a second. One moment, please. My mouse is not happy. Here and here. One second, please. So when the sentiment gets too high, the market tends to decline. You wanted to look at GDX?
Yeah, and I had a couple of questions for you.
Sure. Let's put it up there. One moment, please. Here's GDX. Oh, computer's not happy. Just one moment, Jim. GDX, I think we've got it, right? So there it is.
The lines are getting pretty close, huh?
Yeah, the lines are getting close. That's usually a negative.
Mm-hmm.
You want the lines to open up like they did over here prior to the bottom. And so usually this means a market where traders are not willing to chase prices higher, and that's a negative in a bullish trend.
Yeah, this is one where I noticed that the RSI seemed to be lagging, but more than that, the volume, the average volume in the last 50 days is about 31,000 shares a day. And in the last 200 days, it's 52,000 average per day. And the unanimous opinion of bullishness and really drugging through this 1800, you know, generally when it goes to make out new highs, sometimes it kind of accelerates through the number because of short covering or whatever.
Yep.
And we're not seeing that right now. So I'm, you know, I've been a bull in the gold, but like in the 20 to 25 range. I've been hesitant to double up, even though it broke 30. I thought breaking 30 was important in this stock. And we might get, maybe it'll pull back to that number, and that'll be the time to maybe take a shot. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing that I ask about gold. You know, don't get me wrong. I love the gold market. I own a lot of gold, physical gold.
Right.
Think about this. The Black Swan event that people have been waiting for decades. We got that Black Swan event. We got the virus. We got the economic contraction. We've got the fear of economic collapse. We've got the Fed printing money like it's going out of style. What else do you want? What else does gold need to make a new all-time high? Couldn't even penetrate its all-time high.
Yeah.
It just comes right up there and just sits and sits and sits. So what's going to be the next Black Swan event? What's the excuse going to be then? So what I want to do is now I'm looking at platinum. I'm looking at, you know, copper has had a big bull market, for example.
Oh yeah.
FCX, which I've been recommending for ages.
Exactly.
Broke out incredibly to the longs, to the bullish side yesterday. And it's had this big, beautiful uptrend from $8 a share all the way to $12 a share right now. So I'm looking at other things than gold. In addition to owning some gold, I think there's a lot better stuff around like platinum.
And the other one you were talking about months ago, just like the FCX, was SCCO, and that has not been too shabby either.
Here's SCCO. Thanks for mentioning that, Jim. There it is. Again, in a beautiful uptrend. The thing that's really nice about it pays a dividend, and the dividend it's paying right now is, let me bring it up on the screen, we are paying 3.4% yield, which is really not bad these days.
No, and when you were talking about it down at 25 to 30, it was even paying higher because of the, you know, obviously the dividend divided into a lower price is a better yield.
Yeah, it was close to 8% at that time.
Yeah. With regards to the white metal, how are we thinking on silver?
I think silver will have its day. It's the poor person's gold. You can't say poor man's gold anymore. It has to be the poor person's gold. And I think it's a good idea to own some silver, but I wouldn't be, I'm not too excited about it right now. I don't see anything major here yet. We have a cyclical low due in silver at any time right now. It's a 10-year cycle. Sorry. cycle at you.
Could you expand a long-term chart? Because on a 20-year chart that I looked at, or even a 10-year chart, it seemed to me that if it could get above 21, there could be a very large acceleration to the upside. But of course, if it can't, then of course it'd be problematic.
So there's the silver right now.
Yeah. So if we got above that 21 area, you see all that white area up there, huh?
If we can get above this high right over here, it'd be truly dramatic. And that high comes in at, I'll tell you right away, Jim. That is 2301.
Okay. So it's a little higher than the 21.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know,
the really big picture chart is like that. So, you know, this was the Hunt Brothers stuff all the way back here. Mm-hmm. And then it was right over here. So, you know, we've got this big, beautiful potential in silver and gold, but it ain't happening yet.
No, it's a little premature. One other thing that's happened today that you had talked about 3 months ago was two markets in the softs. One was in sugar and the other, well, one is in sugar. Do you want to put that up? Because you were talking about how there was accumulation by the commitment of traders reports that was indicating commercial activity. And believe me, I believed in that 100%. And it's gone from 910 and now it's in the 12s. And if it gets above 1250, 13, it could be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yep, there's a sugar market and there's an ETF for sugar. It's called Cane. Here's the Cane, similar chart. Not traded very actively, but certainly something you can use limit orders in. There's Cane and that's sugar. So it's just making this beautiful rounding bottom and just beginning to break out now.
Is Cane a stock?
It's a stock. It's an ETF.
It's an ETF. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's something to note because if you look at the longer term chart on the sugar, should it be able to take out this resistance? There's quite a bit of real estate above.
That's true. I think there's another ETF in sugar, SGG. Let me bring it up. Yeah, here's the SGG sugar ETF as well. And there's another one, COSN, I think, COSN, COSN. It's not exactly a sugar stock. Hold on a second. Let me look it up. Well, someone will have to find the symbol for me. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting play. It's an energy play based on sugar cane in South America.
Now, the other two in the softs area that were kind of looking interesting on the charts was coffee. And now that Starbucks has everybody open, maybe there's some demand coming back. Who knows?
Here's the coffee chart. I want to show you something really interesting about coffee. I'm glad you mentioned it. So coffee was down a huge amount yesterday. It's a 5 cent move in coffee. But that happened after we got our buy trigger, which was right over here. So when we got our buy trigger, we waited to get down to the bottom of the channel. That happened today. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, it's on the ledge. If it can get going from here, it could be very exciting. So it's something to monitor for sure. How about the OJ? You were somewhat constructive at about 100. I see it's at about 125.
Yeah, the OJ made its move, and here's the chart. Not a futures market that I enjoy trading because it's very illiquid, but otherwise it's made its move very nicely.
Yeah.
And we have one more to go, and that's going to be cocoa, which
that
is
didn't look
coming.
So good. Yeah.
No, it hasn't happened yet. We're waiting for timing on cocoa, and there's a great cocoa ETF called NIB, N-I-B, and here's cocoa, so we're waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, contrary to the divergence we had in stocks, which was bearish divergence, we've got bullish divergence in cocoa, as you can see, making new lows in price right over here, but no new lows in the divergence indicator, which is right over here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very bullish with very small, very low small trader sentiment. So we have all the ducks in place. We're just waiting for a trigger.
Yeah, you need a little more price confirmation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, turning towards the agricultural sector, I think the fundamental news that came out was the plantings were kind of bullish. I've been very constructive on soybeans, down in the $8 range, you know, thinking we weren't going to go to 7, we could go to 9. That's been pretty accurate. But what do you think from here? Are we going to be able to get over these resistance zones, or what do you think?
I think we have broken out in corn to the upside. And here's the interesting thing. Here's the corn chart. So this has been the strongest bullish activity we've seen in a long time. But here's the neat part. Corn usually makes its high for the entire year in the first week of July. That's why farmers say knee high by the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Well, the bottom line is we have a contra-seasonal move happening in corn. In other words, instead of making a high in July, we're tending to make a low. So this was the low we saw just a couple of days ago right over here, which happened late June. So instead of making highs, we're making lows. And the similar pattern holds true in soybeans. Soybean oil, let me show you that one. That one's really
cool. Yeah, I know that's one of your favorites, and I saw that was up sharply as well.
You bet. Here's the bean oil. Hold on a second. All right, let me bring it up on the screen here. Here we go. Come on, computer. There's the Beano, slow and steady move. Doesn't look like a lot of money, but it's a futures contract. And so every point is worth $6. So this move from here to here is worth approximately $1,400 for every $1,200 invested.
And would you compare it a little bit to the corn for the newer investor who wants something that maybe doesn't move quite as much as others and doesn't have quite as much leverage on the contract?
Probably want to look at oats. Unfortunately, the oats market is not too actively traded.
But they're good for you, according to my diet.
There's been a run on oats. There are this oat milk market, whatever it's worth.
I was going to say oat milk.
For what it's worth, it's gone crazy. I don't know why.
I'm actually doing the almond milk. I find it to be good tasting.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. With regards to the soybean itself, can we take a quick look at that one?
Yeah, let's look at the beans. Mm-hmm. And there's a bean, and there's an agriculture ETF. I'll show that momentarily. This is the beans right here. So they've broken out. In fact, they broke out before the corn did. They broke out all the way over here, came down to support, and broke out again in the last few days. The agriculture ETF is called, one second, it's called, DBA. So this is like a composite of grains and beans and stuff like that, and it's just now beginning to break up.
It's an Invesco product, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. And it traded 2 million contracts or better today, so it's not
you
exactly...
You are fast on the keyboard, Jim.
Yeah. Johnny Lunchbucket is not in this one. A lot of people are in this one. This is not a lonely market. you should have decent liquidity when they do 2 million. And boy, look at the bottom of it there, huh?
Yeah, it's bottomed out.
I mean, you know, that $13 place looks pretty darn low.
For sure.
Very interesting on that. Thank you. I think that's very interesting to put on the radar.
Jim, did you get the symbol list for today?
Oh, that's what we do here. I forgot that.
Yes, sir. I didn't want to interrupt. Interesting discussion here, but
yeah, I was growing right to the vein on Jake. You know, I know what he knows, and I know what, and I know what I want to know. You know,
I was saying to myself, where are all these questions coming from? Where's the list?
The moderator is supposed to be moderating, not manipulating, right? Okay, hold on a second here. I just
need to get it. XOM is the first one.
Okay, yeah, start out with ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil coming right up. Special delivery here. It is. The trend is still down. Trend turned down right over here. And again, here's the methodology. 2 bars below the bottom of the channel. Turns us bearish. We trigger a bearish signal right over here when the blue line goes below the red. So XOM is bearish, as are most of the energies right now. Can I interrupt with something?
Sure.
One of the energies that turned bullish is one that I've been liking for a long time. Let me bring it up. And that is natural gas. Check this out.
Oh, yeah.
NG3. Let me bring it up.
And Buffett got involved in it this week, too.
He sure did. He's no dummy. Here's the chart. Natural gas, after being down, has finally turned around, and it's a good play on the upside. So there's our buy trigger right over here. Our 2 bars right over here, and our trigger right over here. So we'd be buyers of natural gas at the bottom of the channel for futures, and there's just a whole lot of gas ETFs that you can trade.
How about Cheniere Energy, LNG?
Yep, there you go. Definitely been on my list. There's LNG. Been in a good uptrend and remains in an uptrend.
Okay, jumping at the brisk pace we're going to be on.
One of the things about the about LNG, I believe, as I recall, it was paying a pretty good dividend. No, it's not paying very much right now. No. Zero. Okay, what else?
INO.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here you go. And it's a classic chart. I want you to see it. Here it is. 2 bars above the channel, consecutive bars. Our trigger is in buy mode. Mm-hmm. You buy the bottom of the channel or you buy the breakout. Either way, both trades worked extremely well. A beautiful trading stock on my list of short-term trades that I love to do.
And it's in a sector you like, which is the biotech, huh?
Correct.
All right, the next guy has gone through the roof here towards $500 a share, but people are probably wondering if it will continue. That's Netflix.
NFLX, here you go. And here's the chart.
Hit your 505 today, yeah.
Yep, beautiful chart. Channel opening up. When the channel opens up, we tend to go higher. When the channel gets narrow, we tend to go lower. So again, classic example, very beautiful trade. Definitely worth trading for the short term.
We've got the next one is Advanced Micro Devices. Another one that went up towards 54 today, and then it came down a little bit at the end.
So in terms of the chart, it's not a good chart if you're long, if you're bullish. Why? Because right over here, we had our first sell set up and our sell trigger. The top of the channel has been a place to sell all the way along this rally. So this not a stock I'd be trading from the long side. Path of least resistance is on the short side.
And I don't know if that means much for the entire semi area, but it'll be interesting.
Let's look at TSM.
Yeah, okay. Taiwan Semi.
Yeah. It's a a good leading indicator. Here's the DSM. And the chart is very different, okay?
Better?
Much, much better. It's a beautiful chart. So if you're going to trade the semis, this will be a much better one. Or the, what's the
NVIDIA? NVIDIA. Sure. NVIDIA, yeah.
Yep, here's NVIDIA. And here's the chart. And again, very different than the AMD. So AMD would not be your best choice to trade from the long side. There's better alternatives.
Adobe is another one that's got in a lot of funds. Adobe.
Let's check it out.
ADBE, is it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Here you go. It's a powerhouse.
But the green line lagging the higher price, somewhat concerning that way or no?
Very concerning. What it really says is this. When the market begins to move down, it's going to catch up really big and fast. So you want to be careful with these. You don't want to own them for too long. You want to basically be a swing trader. Clear out your positions. Be very careful because I would say most of the gravy has been had here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one is that car you like to drive around. People are raising their estimates to $2,000 a share. The stock went to 1430 today, all-time high, but it went home a little bit weaker. Was this a blow-off high here today, or what do you think?
Channel's getting narrow, but here's the good news. Momentum and price are moving together.
They are.
So I would not be a seller of this stock other than to liquidate from a long position. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful stock. It's a great car. In fact, they ordered their truck. It should be here in about 6 months.
Someone was saying the at-the-money calls were going for over $100.
Yeah.
And a covered call writing person might be interested in knowing that.
That's true.
With regards to Apple.
Another stock we own and don't want to sell. I'd rather own it than sell it, than trade it. Here's Apple. And again, a powerful chart. Same situation. Bearish divergence. Be careful. Take some money off the table, but still a great investment stock to own.
Another one you'd think the calls are pretty fat on too, huh?
Correct.
Yeah. With regards to Microsoft.
Chart should look similar from whatever you call. And there it is. You know, without knowing the symbol, you'd say these are all the same stock.
Yeah, today's high, almost 215, all-time high, closed at 208.
Yeah, 214.67 high, right.
Yeah, another option strategy that I talk about is where you sell the out-of-the-money call, take the premium and buy a put underneath, and then at least you put parameters around your equity. Some of these people who've been in there for a long time on this stuff, their equity must be quite attractive, and protecting it a bit would not be the worst idea that maybe you ever come up with, you know?
Correct.
Next one up is Teladoc. That's a virus stock. Let's see if people are still going with that.
Is it TDOC?
Yeah, TDOC, Teladoc.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Had the huge run. Another one that went to an all-time high today, but went home on the downer a little bit.
And it's interesting that at the all-time high, a lot of brokerage houses came out and recommended this. So yeah. Where were they 6 months ago?
Right.
So the trend's still bullish. And here, again, you see the channel beginning to open it up, which is a very big positive. In terms of being conservative, I'll try to buy this at the bottom of the channel. So if we get a big sell-off overnight, it's reasonable we could get down to 196 in a stock like this, and that's where the buy would be.
All right. This one really, you know, had an explosion of users since January, and this is Zoom, but people are starting to think about how much it's worth. 275 is the 52-week high, now at 262.
And that
275 is kind of sticking up there, right?
What's the symbol?
ZM.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there we go, ZM.
Looks a little like the Chrysler building there with that 275 price.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, they've got their security issues to consider.
It's a point to defend anyway.
Yeah, there's Zoom. And again, you know, most of these charts look pretty much the same. It's just a question of how much they've gone parabolic and whether that parabolic move is supported by the technicals. In many cases, the technicals are fine, but in this case, it's not. Because again, you've got that new all-time high, but you've got momentum lagging behind, which is a big negative.
This next one up is Boeing. And of course, you know, people sometimes forget that they are extremely large defense contractor. So people think, you know, the commercial airlines are not doing very well. So that's going to be bad for Boeing, which is probably true. But the Pentagon's got more money than who knows to do with, and that could, you know, bail this company out a little bit. But what does it look like technically?
Still bullish, definitely worth trading from the bottom of the channel. You have the bottom of the channel coming in tomorrow at, roughly speaking, let's check it out, hold on 1 second here, that would be roughly speaking 176, which is certainly possible to hit overnight and as a buy.
It's kind of got in a little bit of a, you know, a sideways pattern, so whichever way it breaks up or down, it could give you a decent sized move in that direction, huh?
Correct. But the big picture trend, again, I like to look at the big picture based on the weekly. Here's the weekly trend, and you can see the weekly trend is definitely turning higher. So unless you're convinced that we're never going to travel by air again, or that the government's going to stop buying aircraft from this company, it's a great investment stock and worth holding for 2 or 3 year period of time, maybe even more.
The reversion to the mean crowd would like to know maybe that the 200-day moving average is up at 262. So that gives you a little bit of a window. And the volume on the last 50 days has been 47 million shares versus 22 million. So the volume has been extremely large in the recent past.
Yeah, and I think we've got a lot of accumulation going on there. So again, long-term proposition.
Yeah, it's a two-horse race too.
That's right, exactly.
Under oil, we went over Exxon, but his brother Chevron is further down the list here. CVX.
Yep, got it. Again, not looking too good. It's definitely turned bearish. There's no question in my mind. So again, it's a sell rather than a buy. You probably want to look at some of the other ones like Marathon and some of the cheaper ones, because this one's definitely not a good one on the long side.
What does Oxy look like, OXY?
Last time I looked at it, it looked like crap. Let's take a look at it.
Their bonds were going for 35% in March, non-callable for 2029. That's not a bad yield if they pay.
So there's Oxy. I want to look at MRO. Let me check that out.
Okay.
There's Marathon. And again, they all look pretty much the same. They're in downtrends.
You want to throw crude oil up there, since that's what these guys do?
You betcha. Here's the crude oil futures coming right up. And it's been a big, beautiful bull market from the lows back here in May all the way to where we are now. But it's a beautiful market for the swing trade from the bottom of the channel. But again, notice the channel is narrowest it's been in a long time, which is usually a leading indicator for a top, just as a widening channel is a leading indicator for a bottom.
How about the big guy, Amazon?
Yeah, we've got the street raising projections every single day here.
Well, they better tell Amazon, because we went down $56 today.
Yeah, so there it is. But again, the charts look pretty much the same since the bottom.
Yeah.
Every move to the bottom of the channel has been a support move to buy. It's been a beautiful swing trading market. And that's why I say to people, if you're not making money in this market, there's something wrong with what you're doing, because there's been a lot of money to be made, and it's gotten way too easy, which is very, very...
Yeah, when you say easy, Jake, I think you're referring to orderly, right?
Yes, exactly. Things are working. The indicators are working. So it's been orderly. It's been easy, relatively easy, by which I mean you buy support, you sell resistance, buy support, sell resistance. The time to have been an investor was 2 months ago, but now it's time to be a trader.
Mm-hmm. How about the big box store, Costco?
Here you go. There's Costco. And then we should also look at Walmart. So there's Costco just breaking out to the upside. So it's a good one. It's a really good one right now.
Yeah, it had a good day today, up almost $5.
Check this one out. Overstock.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I love to trade, and it's been going absolutely crazy.
And they take Bitcoin, don't they?
I believe they do. That was a big move a few months ago, maybe a year ago, when they started talking about taking Bitcoin. That's correct. You can do transactions at Overstock in Bitcoin. So they were up probably another $7 today. Beautiful stock to trade.
Speaking of transactions, why don't we throw up Square, SQ, and iPay, I-P-A-Y, and see what you think of that.
You betcha. There's Square, another one of those. They're all looking the same, aren't they?
Pretty much.
And then I-P-A-Y.
Well, because people are not going, and they're processing cards and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's iPay, not as beautiful a chart.
No. Well, that's a diversified ETF, so it's watered down a little bit.
Right. And check this one out.
It's got old dogs like MasterCard in there.
Now, let me look at this one. I can't remember the symbol. Hold on 1 second, Jim. What is it? It's called MoneyGram. I can't remember the symbol. It's a nice cheap one that has great potential on the upside, but I forget the symbol.
MoneyGram?
Mm-hmm. MoneyGram International.
International Money Express?
No.
Oh, no. MoneyGram, MGI.
MGI. Let's check it out. Again, it's a cheap one, but I've been watching this one very closely. And here you go. Again, broke out right over here. So these breakouts are very clear and easy to look at. And swing trade, bottom of the channel to the top, bottom of the channel to the top. Cheap stock, you can accumulate large position and pay zero commission.
And the volume was still over 2 million today, so somebody's playing it.
Yeah, and they're involved with one of the cryptos called Ripple.
Yeah, they had a big high volume jump up to 4, and now it's kind of digesting it.
Correct.
Yeah.
What else do you want to look at today?
NVIDIA. NVDA.
Okay. NVIDIA. I think we looked at it just a little while ago.
Yeah.
Typical tech stock chart right here. Still in an uptrend. And I think it's going to take a major piece of fundamental news to change this situation. So again, you want to buy support, sell resistance. It's too late, in my view, to be an investor, because the majority of the move has already been seen, but it's not too late to be a trader.
How about if we just throw a couple of people who are interested in the semis and, 5G and cyber and everything else. How about we throw up CrowdStrike, CRWD?
Sure. I can tell you pretty well that these charts are going to look all the same. There you go.
Pretty much all the
same. So if you miss the opportunity here on the initial buy trigger, you had numerous opportunities here. So after about six or seven opportunities that are profitable to buy the bottom and the channel and get out at the top, you have to ask yourself the question, am I too late? And you will know you're too late. If we come down to the bottom of the channel, which in this stock for tomorrow is 100.5, 100.52. If we come down there and don't rebound within an hour or two, you know it's too late and the trend has changed for the intermediate term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in a very important time frame for this stuff to hold and resume strength.
Absolutely.
How about Qualcomm?
C-O-M. And here we go. And again, they're going to look all the same. There you go. Pretty much the same. Just variations on a theme.
Cloudera. Cloudera looked the same. CLDR.
Yep.
That was just added, I thought, to the one of the indexes.
I think it was. And here's the chart. Pretty much the same.
Losing some altitude.
Yeah. Let's look at SMH. Semi holders. ETF.
One stop shop.
There you go. Like I said, they're all the same chart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we get to the top of the hour, Jake, could you spend a little bit of time on, you know, what exactly you're providing for people and exactly how they could participate in what you're doing?
Sure, absolutely. I record a weekly newsletter over the weekend, which covers the stock market and all the futures markets, indicating the short-term moves, the buy triggers, the sell triggers. I publish a weekly stock market letter that gives intermediate term trends. I do webinars where I teach my methodologies very specifically because everything is based on the rules. I teach the rules, the target, the entry, the exit, the profit target, profit maximizing strategy. I have trained many people one-on-one, but I'm getting a little bit too old to do that anymore, and I'm not interested in dealing with people who keep making mistakes no matter how much you teach them. So I will take some students from time to time. I publish the Daily Sentiment Index, which is a survey we do every day and have done every day since 1987. It's subscribed to by most of the major hedge funds in the world. And I do a COT report where I teach the commitment of traders and how to use it for the long term with the cyclical patterns in the markets to spot the big moves. And Jim, that's what I do.
Okay.
Besides that, sitting here all day and trading.
And the way they get a hold of you is through the email address or go to the website?
They go to my website, jakebernstein.com. I'm having a webinar in 2 weeks on swing trading, where I teach people how to swing trade the intermediate term moves. It's all very specific. So everything's there. I have a list of webinars coming up until August. I'm going to do one webinar every Saturday until August. And my list is at the website, jakebernstein.com.
Perfect. I, for one, definitely appreciate every time you're here because you bring so much to the table that, you know, I find it always very interesting to hear your insights. Well, and obviously, the people out there who are investing, to find out what you're doing, I don't think is a bad idea at all to put into their toolbox, you know, as part of their decisions or just information flow, you know, just good information.
Let me return the compliment right back at you. You ask the right questions. Most people don't ask the right questions. Your questions are spot on, which is why I love doing this.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Jake. Again, I'm optionprofessor.com, and every week I do send out an update on all the markets and my views and my opinions and my observations. To get on that list, you just simply go over to optionprofessor@gmail.com and include your email, and then you're on the list. It's free of charge. Right now, I'm sending it back to David. Thank you very much, Jake, again, and good luck on all your trading. And this is going back to David Kosmeter.
Thanks, guys. Great discussion. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network or app to get updates on future shows. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show as soon as I can get it posted, or any of the past shows as well. So just want to thank my guests again for today, Jake Bernstein of trade-futures.com and Jim, the Option Professor at optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David. Take care, everybody. Good week of trading.